desechables de nombre cognitive. On the Muswane, she said that she's having a and in the process of the flu, she lost her voice. Then I got an opportunity of sharing this meeting. I'll be sharing this meeting on her behalf. We do not have much time, and you'll notice that we started with another entity. But we would like to appreciate that you came on time. This is what we call professionalism. No excuse. You come on time because you were given time for the meeting. Chairperson, I would not want to waste time given the time constraint that we have. I just want to place away head over head some meetings with the United States. I don't think there's a need for introducing ourselves. If we forgot who is who, we may want to catch up outside this meeting. But for now, I will hand over, I don't know who is leading the delegation, hand over to the team to take us through the presentation.
Good morning, Mr. President, again, and morning, honorable members. Good morning to all the guests and staff of the committee. We'll try and stick to the time, Chairperson. We had to come after phase, you know, no phase was got a budget of less than 100 million rand that they took. Plus we have a budget of about 9 billion. I wonder how many hours we're going to take to this in the end. But we'll try to assist the committee to check.
It's not about the biggest, it's about professionalism. In your presentation, please help us suffer through the poor management of it may not be part of the presentation. Please speak to it. So that in the committee we are in a position to say something when people are ready to discuss it. We have a poor management. Each and every time we discuss education, the poor management of NETRA is the main issue. If you could cover that in your presentation. Thank you.
Thanks for the guidance. I will certainly speak to that. I'll quickly try and go into slide 3, which just shows what the mandate of NSFAS is straight from the Act, the NSFAS Act, which is to allocate funds for those in bursaries to eligible students, to develop the criteria in consultation with the Minister for grant of loans in bursaries, to raise funds, to recover loans, and to maintain and analyze the database and undertake research for the better restoration of financial resources, and to advise the Minister on matters relating to student financial aid, and perform any other functions assigned to it in this Act or by the Minister. We also have a vision as NSFAS to be a model public entity that provides financial aid to all eligible public university and children college students from poor and working class backgrounds. Our mission, NSFAS exists mainly for three main purposes: to provide financial aid to eligible students, to at public tutored colleges and public universities. It also identifies eligible students, provides loans and bursaries, and collects student loan repayments to replenish the funds available for future generation of students. NSFAS supports access to and success in higher education and training for students from poor and working class families who would otherwise not be able to afford to study. The values are also articulated. We have two sets of values, the external values and the internal values. Just on the journey that NSFAS has been on, NSFAS started as TEFSA and IDT in around 1991. It was NSFAS in 1999 with the promulgation of the Act by Parliament. In 1999, it dispersed 441 million to university students only then. In 2009, it had moved to disperse 3.2 billion rand to at least 191,000 students at university and TVET colleges. There was a review in 2011 of how networks operate and how networks work that informed some of the changes that had to take place. And in 2012, NSFAS was disbursing 7.2 million rand to 383,000 students, both at university and TVET colleges. That increased to 8.7 in 2013, and in 2014, that is at about 8.9 billion. In 2013, also, there was a major shift in how NSFAS went. NSFAS started a new student standard model where students would be able to apply directly to a network, not via three universities. That project started in 2014, covering 15% of the network students. The plan is to roll it forward into 2016 and increase the population to 30% of the students that are funded by network. So far, just going to the next slide on the successes of NSFAS, we've been able to provide access to education to students from poor and working class families. NSFAS in its life has spent over 50 billion rand since inception, assisting more than 1.5 million students. There's a significant base chairperson of taxpayers who are now paying tax in the Republic that have come through this system. 1.5 million students. If you compare that with the number of taxpayers of this country, as you see the contribution that NSFAS has made to the tax base of this country. At inception, it used to only disperse loans. That has shifted now. NSFAS has got more bursaries than loans. 59% of its disbursement is in bursaries and 41% is in loans. But also remember, these loans are actually very soft loans because if students pass, 40% of those loans are converted to bursaries. And in the final year, the full loan is converted to a bursary to university. At TVET colleges, students get bursaries, full bursaries, 100% bursaries. That's the structure of the scheme. We're now in transformation from the old to the new student model, and that's a chapter I'm going to attempt to answer your question about the administrative inefficiencies at NSFAS. Ability to bring in public sector players in the system, we're now bringing in more and more state institutions to assist students through the NSFAS system. And we've been fortunate that in the fiscal, during the tough years post the recession, NSFAS has also been getting significant increases from the fiscal, even in the tough economic years post 2008. One of the lessons that we've learned at NSFAS is we need to have critical partnerships that are active between ourselves and the universities and colleges and the funder, which is mainly state institutions. We need to improve on communication to our stakeholders, because we find that sometimes our stakeholders are not aware of what the I'm on slide number 90% now, so this machine is. We're improving communication with stakeholders. There's an opportunity to provide strategic insight on the impact of public sector investment in education and its relevance to the NCP, goals. And one of these is the one that I've just highlighted, that NSFAS does not only give students education, it contributes to the national system through ensuring that those students that got education, they eventually go and work and also contribute to the tax base of this country. The challenges that we have had in 2014 specifically is we've had an issue of students that have historic debt that could not register in the new year. Unfortunately, we are still unable to assist all students that require assistance, and that possibly talk to some of the complaints that we receive, because in a year, for instance, in 2014, we assisted 414,000 students. You may find that the demand or the expectation was maybe in the region of 500,000, but NSFAS could only assist 414,000 students based on the resources that it has at its disposal. We also have an issue of unfunded programs, which is BTEC. NSFAS at university funds mainly students who are doing a first qualification. So the big issue around the BTEC program, which is not the first qualification, but students see it as one of the critical programs that they have to do for them to secure employment. And that's a policy discussion that is now taking place around the BTEC program. Should it or should it not be funded? Again, we have to make choices. If we fund the BTEC program, it means we'll fund fewer students in the National Diploma program because there's a limited pool of resources that are available, and those choices have to be made as to what is in the best interest of the individuals, the system, and the country as a whole in terms of where do we best invest our resources. We're also implementing the new student-centered model. Like anything that is new, it has had its challenges. We've now stabilized it. It is in its second year of implementation, and we're happy with the path that we're on. We also get confronted by student protests at various universities linked to the above challenges of BTEC, students that cannot be assisted, student historic debt. Because with the student historic debt, even if you are funding, for instance, a student for this year, if he owes a university money from the previous year, he will unfortunately be unable to pay because the university will say, just clear the debt that you have from the previous year. And that my arise as a result of a number of reasons. That's only, NSFAS still runs the two models, and this is where the issue of inefficiencies comes in. NSFAS takes money from various funders and allocates it to universities, and say to universities or the colleges, this is the criteria, please give accept applications from students. Please award loans to students that qualify and pay allowances to students that qualify for allowances. And because we run this model with these third parties who are investing, if a university A, for instance, does not pay allowance to students on time, the students will say, I did not receive my network. But the money might be sitting in the university's bank account, but the university did not intend to transfer the money to the students for them to buy books. And that's one of the challenges that we have with NSFAS, because we run a system not directly as ourselves with NSFAS, but with third parties, which are universities and colleges. And unfortunately, we find that there are universities that are good, that will pay on time, that will pay allowance on time, but there are those that are not that good in terms of that. And we're working with them together with the department. And there are also colleges that are good, that will pay students allowances on time, or they will make sure that students are funded on time. But there are those that are not very good in terms of managing the student system. That's what we call the old model, and we're in the process of changing this system. But like any system that is huge, you have to change it carefully, you have to change it over time, you can't change it overnight. We're changing the system, we're now introducing a system where NSFAS directly deals with the student so that we take full accountability of what happens to the ultimate student. All the areas that are marked in blue there are the responsibilities of the universities and colleges. That's like they receive the allocation from us, they receive an upfront payment from us, they award loans, they pay allowances, and then submit claims to NSFAS. The only thing that NSFAS does is to check those claims and pay the claims to the universities. Then any interaction in the old model with the student is by the university and by the college, not by NSFAS. It's a university run, it's a university managed day-to-day system, and the college manage day-to-day system. Therefore, when people say NSFAS has been inefficient, they mean NSFAS and its partner, which is NSFAS and the universities, NSFAS and the colleges. And that's something that is important to bear in mind. In the new model, again, the colleges and the universities, their role is the areas that are in blue. In the new model, almost everything gets done by NSFAS. NSFAS takes the applications directly from students, it ranks the students, and then it gets confirmation from the university or college that the students are registered. That's the only responsibility of the university in the new model, which is only applicable at 15% of the student population. Students sign their loan agreement form online, they sign that with NSFAS, and we promise to pay allowances within 48 hours of them signing the loan agreement form. That's the new model. That new model is now working at 11 institutions across the country, 6 universities and 5 civic colleges. It's the University of South Africa, it's the Durban University of Technology, it's the University of Venda, the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, the Salt Lake University, and the University of Mpumalanga. And the colleges, we are, that system is now working at the South Cape College in the Western Cape, the King Yenza College, King Yenza Achievement College in the Eastern Cape, Mateo Achievement College in the Free State, Eburuleni East in Gauteng, and Mpolo Achievement College in KZN. Those are the 11 institutions that have now implemented the new model where NSFAS has got direct interaction with the student and pays allowances directly to the student. In terms of what NSFAS does at the beginning of the year to ensure that there is a smooth running of the year, Chairperson, there is something that exists in the system is the academic year starts in January, but the financial year starts in April. That presents challenges from day one because it means that we'll only get our money in April, but students are already in class in January or in February. Therefore, at NSFAS, what we do, we offer universities and TVET colleges what we call upfront payments. We give them an advanced amount of money, 30% to the universities and 30% to the TVET colleges, so that they can fund the students before even we get our allocation from the fiscal. How we are able to afford that is because as NSFAS, we also have recoveries from former students. We take the money that we recover from former students and we advance it to the universities and the colleges at the beginning of the year. And once we get the money from the fiscal from April, we then replenish that pool of money so that we can re-advance the universities for the following year. The maximum tier for university students this year is 67,200. We also have dedicated funding for students with disabilities, about 70 million rand worth of special funding that is dedicated to students with disabilities. The advantage of having dedicated funding for students with disabilities is that it also affords us an opportunity to buy assistive devices for those students. If a student, for instance, needs a computer that is braille enabled, we're able to buy that. If they need wheelchairs, we're able to buy wheelchairs from the allocation that is for students with disabilities. That's broadly for the 2015 year, Chairperson, we're expecting to invest about 9.5 billion rand coming from various sources. The DHET for universities is about 4.1 billion. The DHET for TVET colleges is about 2.2 billion rand. The National Skills Fund, the provisional amount is about 800 million rand. The basic education, which is the Funza Rushaga Special Scheme for teachers, is about 1 billion rand. Social development, about 200 million rand. The NSFAS recoveries, about 450 million rand. Universities' own funds. We also administer universities' own funds as part of the arrangement that we have with some universities. That's about 200 million rand. Sector education and training, we're expecting the amount to be about 200 million rand that we get from about 14 centers. We also have other funders. The KZN province, we started a new arrangement with them last year. The Eastern Cape province has been running with the scheme for a number of years now. Also, we are in the second year with the arrangement with the Department of Military Veterans. We also have the TRC money that is administered under the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. And we also have funding that comes from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. And that totals to about 9.5 billion rand that will eventually be spent this year. The next slide shows the DHET allocation by province, both for the TVET colleges and for the university allocations. The Eastern Cape province on the TVET, the TVET in the Eastern Cape will get 238 million. In the Free State, the TVET will be getting 133 million. In the Gauteng, 488 million. KZN, 380 million. Limpopo, 294 million. Bumalanga, 135 million, Northern Cape, 45 million, Northwest, 142 million, Western Cape, 238 million. In the universities, that's on the DHET allocation, the universities in the Eastern Cape will be getting 732 million, in the Free State, 257 million, in Gauteng, 1.6 billion, in KZN, just over 1 billion rand, in Limpopo, 521 million. And in the Northern Cape and the Limpopo from the DHET, network money, they will be getting 2.5 each, the two new universities. They are still admitting a fewer number of students. Northwest, 190 million, and in the Western Cape, 609 million. And that makes comes via the DHET and the NSF. Of the university allocations this year, we have paid the universities an upfront payment of 966 million to enable the universities to advance money to students before even the government financial year starts. And the TVET colleges also will pay 651 million rand in upfront payments for the TVET colleges. This chairperson is one of the important interventions that NSFAS makes, so that when students go into university or TVET colleges, and even if they come from the poorest of families, no one should be demanding an upfront registration fee, because all the TVET colleges and all the universities that ask for it are sitting with millions of rands of money from NSFAS that has been advanced to the TVET colleges and advanced to the universities, to say, when students who come from poor families walk in at your college or at your university and they cannot afford, you have already tested that they cannot afford, you should be registering them, because you don't have a cash flow challenge. There is money. NSFAS has paid collectively, the sector in upfront payments, 1.5 billion rand that has come from NSFAS to the sector to ensure that the sector can register students that come from poor families and give them allowances. What some colleges say is, if we register them, where are we going to get money to give them allowances? The money is there, it comes from NSFAS for free. NSFAS gives to the colleges, gives to the investors. That if you get the students that come from families that they cannot afford, you must register them. You must give them book allowance. You must give them food allowance. You must give them accommodation allowance. Because the money is there. It has been paid by NSFAS to the colleges. And that's something that I want to emphasize, you know, in the midst of all the challenges that we're having. I think with almost all the investors that have been having challenges this year, when we go back to check how much money they are sitting there, the investors that had challenges of students that were saying they have not gotten allowances in April. And when we check, we'll pay them 97 million rand as an advance at the beginning of the year, so that they're able to afford to pay book allowances, to pay food allowances, and then to pay accommodation for those students. And they were sitting with money, or they've diverted the money somewhere. And that's something that we're working with the department to ensure that when we pay an upfront payment to a university, it goes to where it's intended to go, which is to assist students. That's on the, coming back to the strategy, the key strategy considerations over the next 5 years has been to ensure that we improve the internal efficiencies at the NSFAS and ensure that we ensure timely and accurate disbursement of funds to eligible students. This is something that is close to our heart, to ensure that our funding goes to students and get there on time. We in this course, we are now rolling out the new student-centered model, where NSFAS takes a much more active role in the disbursement of funding to students, so that we place less reliance on other parties in the disbursement of funding to students, so that we can be able to take full responsibility as NSFAS and say, we know that we took money and gave it to a student, not giving it to someone else who's supposed to give it to a student. We're also putting focus on fundraising for what we refer or we term as the missing middle. The missing middle is basically students that come from families that are not the poorest of families, but they are not the richest. They are almost somewhere in between. They cannot still afford to take their kids to university at 100,000 rand, but they are not in the bottom of the ladder in terms of the economic status. We're also looking at private sector partnerships. Also, in this fundraising chain, we're also talking to a lot of these public sector entities that are already offering the service, because I think there's an opportunity here to drum up efficiencies, that we eliminate double dipping in the system. If all money comes into one funnel, we'll be able to eliminate double dipping. We're also focusing on recoveries. Recovery is an area that has gotten our attention. We've not been doing well in the recoveries. And we also want to eliminate financial leakages due to fraud in the system, because we believe that all those resources that are in this system must go to the intended recipient. There should be no opportunity for for funding to be diverted to other students. That's on fundraising. We're focusing on four key things in fundraising: to identify new public and private sector funders, the identification of new funders for students currently not eligible for network funding, which is the missing middle. We're also consolidating the existing public sector funding for student loans and bursaries. I've already explained that we're speaking to various government departments and various public entities in this regard. We're also working to improve loan collections, as this is something that we think will be able to increase the number of students that are funded, even if the increases will not be huge, but that increase will still be welcome. For every additional rent that we collect, it goes back to the students. All the recovery money is invested back to the students. Just the trends on the recoveries, there's been a declining trend on the recoveries. Part of the impact on NSFAS has been the compliance requirements with the National Credit Act. In the previous version of NSFAS collection, NSFAS was empowered to just, once they know where you work, to write to your employer and say you must deduct so much money from your employer. That has been found to be non-compliant with the National Credit Act, and there is now new methodology that we have to use to collect money. We'll also be bringing in assistance from private sectors in terms of the collection space, but we think that's an important area of focus in the next 3 years of the MTM. Just on the recoveries, we started with the communication. We started communication to ensure that we reach all our debtors that are not paying us. We're also putting in dedicated collections resources so that we can have a much more focus on this. We're going for monthly payroll deductions for various employers. We now have got data from SARS on where the debtors are working, and we're now sifting through that data to be able to contact the employers and then eventually the employees so that we can start to do the payroll deduction. SARS has given us data that has linked up 13 billion rand of people that owe us money. We know where they work now because of the assistance that we have received from SARS. We're also working with employers for what you call employers debt buyback. Some employers are keen. For instance, when I told them that in your workforce you're employing 500 people that were funded by NSFAS, some employers are keen to say, look, let's buy back their debt as the employer, because we've benefited from this system. That means we'll just take the money from the employer rather than the employees. And that's something that we're also testing with some employers that they're already keen to do in terms of debt collection. And I'll ask the CFO to relieve me from this point of the presentation.
Thank you, Msuna. Morning, members. I will just talk about the operational budget and the NTF allocation for NSFAS. For the administration budget for 2015-16 is 65 million, and that is really the non-cooperations of NSFAS. And then when you look at the student-centered model, is 8.8 billion, and Suda's already spoken about how those have been divided amongst the provinces of South Africa. And then when you look at 2.1, it's 115 million, that is the core operation of NSFAS. And the budget that we utilize for the operations of NSFAS amounts to 2% of the allocation that we have versus the industry norm of between 5% and 10%. And some of the guiding principles or the strategic goals of NSFAS are outlined in slide 23. Goal number one is for NSFAS, or an entity that is efficient and effective to the public sector in providing student financial aid. And goal number two is to increase access to higher education and improve student financial aid and environment. And I'll just focus on goal number one, then get to number two. The goal statement is to implement an effective and efficient processes and operations to ensure that stakeholder objectives are achieved. And the outcomes that we measure ourselves as NSFAS is to have robust system processes and controls, to be productive and have engaged employees, and the performance indicators to make sure that we receive a clean audit report annually. And then the goal number two, as I've already outlined, is the goal statement there is to increase access to funding, and then the outcomes of that is increased funding, improved recovery, Anisha, thanks for calling. And the EO has already spoken about the work that we are doing in the private sector and the public sector. And the government's indicator there is to have an augmented capital available for disbursement and to also increase the total number of student loans and bursaries. And then we'll move further to program number one, that is student centered financial aid. I'm not going to outline all the indicators for the outer 2 years, but the strategic objective is to improve the disbursements of funds and allowances to students. And the EO in its earlier presentation has already outlined the measures that NSFAS has taken to ensure that we achieve that as an entity. And the objective is to progressively improve the efficiency of payments of tuition, residence fees, allowances, and claims to students and institutions. And we've broken that into four indicators. The 1.1 is to increase in percentage of students in the student-centered model paid tuition and residence fees on the due date. And for the financial year of 2015-16, we are aiming for 90%. And for indicator 1.2 as well, where we want to pay allowances on due date, we are also aiming for 90%. And then on 1.3, percentage of claims paid to institutions outside the student-centered model on the due date is 100% by the end of December of every financial year or calendar year. 1.4, upfront payments that we make to institutions, as the EU has already allocated the 3% is to pay that by the end of 31st March of every calendar year. And then when we move further to strategic objective number 2, the next part is it has been outlined in its policy or in its act is to provide policy inputs on student financial aid. And in doing so, the objective is to provide policy inputs on student financial aid by conducting research programs and publishing those outcomes. And indicator 2.1 is the number of research that we've set to produce for the financial year 15-16 is 5 reports that we should be able to produce as an entity. 2.2, number of research projects published, 1 research project we intend that should be published. 2.3, number of policy briefs produced, 1 policy brief produced. And the slide number 27, that's the objective 3, improve key external stakeholder satisfaction. So NSFAS has already started to measure itself against its peers out or against its stakeholders. Our objective number 3 is to improve stakeholder satisfaction by improving stakeholder relation and communication for those stakeholders identified in Section 6.21 strategic plan. The indicator is to increase percentage of satisfied stakeholders, and for this financial year we are aiming for 60% of stakeholder satisfaction. Moving further to strategic objective number 4, this is the area that we are really focusing on, and the executive office has already alluded to that, is to improve the loan collection, to improve loan collection incrementally each year. From the baseline of 338, we are aiming for 337 million for this financial year. And moving further to strategic objective number 5, increase funding raised. The objective statement number 5 is to increase the pool of funding available for eligible student loans and bursaries incrementally each year through various funding raises. We've already spoken about the missing middle, the private sector, and the plans that we've already put in place to make sure that we raise additional funds. In ensuring that we meet those, we have indicators. 5.1 says the number of new funds secured. From base of 14, we are aiming for additional 5 funders for this financial year. 5.2, increasing funding raised from current funders. From 1 billion, we are aiming to add another 105 million into the NSFAS corpus for this financial year. As we move to program number 2, that is the administration. Strategic objective number 6, roll out new student-centered model. The objective is to roll out the new student-centered model by increasing the percentage of students in the model. From the base of 15%, that's 65,000 students, we are planning to add additional 30% for this financial year. In doing this, this will ensure that we address some of the challenges that are embedded in the system. Strategic objective number 7 is to improve our governance in us carrying out our work. And in doing that, we want to improve governance standards by maintaining an unqualified audit report with 0 misstatements, and that will set us on a path to achieving a clean audit. For this financial year, we are achieving, we are aiming to receive an unqualified audit with zero material misstatements. Strategic objective number 8 is to strive for a high performance culture and improve working environment. And the objective there is to strive for high performance culture by improving productivity and increasing employee engagement. The indicator there is increasing percentage of productive employees. And for this financial year, we are aiming for 60% for the employees to be rated 3 and above. So the rating system for NSFAS is a 3 average. You've done your work 4, you're good, 5, you're excellent. And we are aiming for at least to get employees doing their work productively. Then 8.2, increasing percentage of engaged employees is 50% employees engaged. And we've already conducted an employee survey to just gauge the environment in the organization. And ensuring that we also have an IT system and we have requirements to meet relating to that IT system. The strategic objective number 9 is to ensure information technology and organizational strategic alignment. The objective is to align organizational processes and information technology by achieving corporate governance of information and communication technology assessment standards. And we are aiming to achieve phase 3 and maintaining the status thereafter. For this financial year of 2015-16, we are aiming for level 3 and fully conforming to that level. Chairperson, in carrying out our work, we do understand that there are risks embedded in the system, and one of those risks are outlined in slide number 35. Is to ensure that as an entity, we have a number of deserving students. By embedded in the system is that there's a number of deserving students that far exceeds available funding, and that leads to student problems at the beginning of every academic year. We also need to ensure that we disburse funds to students and institutions on a timely basis. We work hard in ensuring that we raise additional funding, as we've already outlined that we need to increase our recoveries from a low base. We also have a data challenges that is endemic in the system. For example, the data that we receive from institutions is often not up to standard. And we also have implemented a new system, as the executive office has already outlined, and we have challenges around attracting skills and keeping the skills, because some of the skills in this space are highly qualified, highly trained, and are highly sought after. And also, as an entity, we need to make sure that we improve our time of our turnaround time and making sure that we respond to submissions from the institution. Thank you.
The issue of historic debt, I just want to find out how does this happen? I'm linking it to what you have said in respect of the upfront payment. Now, if you are allocating upfront payments to the deserving students, how does it happen then that along the way there is a historic debt, because it should not be happening. If there's an upfront payment when I get to university or college by NSFAS, but along the way I'm found to be having a historic debt, I don't understand the pronounce of the chapter. The second one has already been partly answered. I had a question which is linked to slide 17 again. Does it not happen that NSFAS funding gets utilized for items for which it is not responsible? There is by institutions. That one, for example, salaries or something like that. You have responded to that. But what I want to know is, if this happens, what is the next step by NSFAS? Like you said, you are checking it also, whether it happens. And lastly, on slide 27, you are planning to keep 60% of your stakeholders satisfied, which means you are planning to keep 40% of your stakeholders dissatisfied. Now, what I want to know is, who is the 60% that you are planning to keep dissatisfied? I'm assuming, okay, it may be linked to your last slide when you are talking about this. Those who will not get funding because the resources, the deserving students far exceed the available funding. But rather, I'd like to know, in addition to that sector of the dissatisfied deserving kids who will not get any allocation, who else is part of the 40% that you are planning to keep dissatisfied? Because that is what you are planning to do. You are planning to keep some people dissatisfied. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also acquaint those that already welcomed this conference presentation. Honorable Chair, as, in terms of my own understanding, there's a strong perception around some discrepancies in regards to the NSFAS, apart from the issue that we have already, historic, in terms of the historical background that you have given us in your presentation. But there are a number of good stories that we have actually done, and there are a number of students that we are actually able to reach out to. But notwithstanding the fact that there are still many students from the poorest of the poor that are not able to get access to NSFAS. Now, the perception that is very strong around corruption in terms of this NSFAS, and also in line with the new student portal that we are proposing, that we are already working on, which is actually going to deal away with all those issues. The issues that you raised in your presentation around student uprising, riots, and all of that. It's also going to deal, in terms of our view, it's going to deal with the issue of, because students will know when they are sitting at home, or before even they pass their metric, they will know if they've been afforded a loan, or their loan application has been approved, or something like that. And also, I just want you to tell us a little bit in terms of this new student model that we are proposing, and whether it is going to pick up on the issues of corruption and all of that, and whether the system itself will be able to pick up some discrepancies. Like the chairperson has already indicated that some of the students, they use the details of their grandparents. So practically speaking, if the students will be able to pick up those issues, and how are you going to deal with those things? And now, because of this perception that is there, or this strong allegation that there's a serious level of corruption in regard to the allocation of money, as NSFAS, which mechanisms do you have in place to ensure that the money that we have been allocating was to our new students, the new student-centered model? What is it that we are doing to ensure that the money that we are allocating for now, there's a strong sense of monitoring and evaluation in regard to that? Because as instance, NSFAS only allocates to the universities. The universities, when we did our oversight visit in the Eastern Cape last year, the committee, we went to King's Avatar Dalinja. There was also an allegation which we made, which was also picked up as a committee, when we're doing our oversight, that some of these monies, they don't get to the student, because the people who are beneficiaries, their parents can afford to pay for them, but yet they are still on the payroll or on the database of NSFAS. Like for example, the Chewati Mikiti, our own kids are also beneficiaries of NSFAS, but as we are seated here, we are also not taking them. Like for example, I'm also a direct beneficiary of NSFAS, my parents, both of them, they were employed, but NSFAS never even picked them. And for your own information, if I need to tell you now, your presentation says you are doing very well in terms of debt collection. I'm also one of the people that owes NSFAS, but they don't come to me. I'm just citing an example. That was just on a lighter note. The fact there are many examples of the people who have benefited from NSFAS. They are still sitting at home, they are enjoying their salaries, but our system is not able to get to them. And this data that we are going to come up with, that we are actually able to get from us, to what extent can we rely on that data? How many people, say for example, you start gives you a data of 100,000 people, and it says, you know, out of this 100,000, you'll be able to recover 13 billion, which can be utilized to assist the number of other students. To what extent can we rely on that data? Because the material conditions on the ground, they change from time to time. So, can you please elaborate and tell us exactly what is it that you're planning to get some of these discrepancies that are happening on the ground? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I'm also worried about how do you control when students are enrolled themselves, the information you've got from them, and basically all two speakers have the same problem. I also want to know, because that is a problem for me, that the information you get from the students, are that really the truth how do you manage it? If you can just keep us an answer on that, I think that is vital. And then you talk about, sometimes you talk about the bursary, and sometimes you talk about allowance. So what is how do you see the difference between the allowance and the bursary? When is the allowance and when is it the bursary? Explain to me. And then, are all the students get the same amount? If it's a bursary or allowance, if they apply for the first time, it is on the different courses they enroll themselves at the university, But at the end of the day, is it the same? How are you manage the amount each and every student get from NSFAS? Then we talked about it in a previous meeting as well, and that is about the policies. At that stage, there was a lot of policies were not in place. So I want to know now, how far are you with the policies? Are all the policies in place? And I said last time, you can't manage any institution or entity if the policies are not in place. So you work from a policy. So I want to know, how far is your policies? Are all the policies in place, and are they working? Are they workable at this stage? The minister also mentioned about the fraud and investigation is going on in NSFAS. What I want to know there, how many people are involved at this stage, and how many people are already found guilty, and what happened to these people who are found guilty from your side. Foreigners, I want to know if there are foreigners who qualify for bursaries, and on what basis are you handled foreigners if they are asking for bursaries or to be enrolled at the university. My last question, Chairperson, is you also mentioned about the recovering and collecting the debt. What I want there is the successful rate. You touch on it, but I want a percentage of successful rate you have on debt to get this money back from previous students and people who was enrolled at the university. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
honourable members, I've got questions from the honourable chair. The first one is that has the present ACP taken into account the need for the evaluation of the current financial aid system? Second one, in the light of problems regarding the administration of NSFAS in institutions of higher learning, does the entity consider employing its own staff at those points, and is there funding to do so? Then the last one, if a student obtains the qualification, that is according to the presentation, then the loan becomes a full budget. Who are the objects of recoveries? Because the logic says that if they don't get a qualification, they are unlikely to get employed. I don't know whether that was clear. Okay, but if I get my qualification, the loan becomes a budget. But if I don't get a qualification, it might mean that I failed or I dropped out. Then there is a likelihood that I will not get employed. Then who is supposed to pay the loans to NSFAS? We have a number of questions that we have on our analysis, which we will submit to you to respond in writing and send it to the chairperson for the sake of time. I will ask just two questions. The first one is in addition to one issue that has been raised already. It will be like we don't know what we are doing. If we give students money and they have a debt and we don't ask them what happens with the money that was given to those students, we cannot say no, we cannot help students. I think that one must come up with some proposals on how you want to do that. There are so many of them who dropped out because of that. They have lost as students, but NSFAS has lost too, because you might have contributed money to those students. There must be a way of assisting them. My one question that I want to ask is that, who are we funding? Where are we contributing in terms of the social economic status? This question is not about individuals, it's about the causes that they're taking. If you do your assessment of the causes of the students that you are funding, what are they doing? What causes are they doing? Like you were saying with the tax base, can you say in terms of the qualifications and say in terms of the profession, as NSFAS, we are producing so many engineers or so many social workers. Who are we funding? Do we have a target, or are we just funding anyone who's got the attitude to get funded? Which I'm not against, but one will be interested to know where are we contributing as NSFAS with this money? Is it really adding value to the social economic development of I would request that as you respond, you may not respond to all of them. Some you may include to those that you're going to write. And also, Chair, maybe we need more time, because from where I am sitting, you have more challenges than you think. The perception is too strong. Now, when these issues are debated in the House, you must know that outside, when people they talk about higher education, they talk management of NSFAS, and it might mean that there is a need that we need to sit and debate and listen to your proposals on how you want to improve. Again, thank you. can I, even to you to respond, maybe just to remind ourselves, as you will be responding, then you should just open up, okay?
Let me start with some of the questions about the CFO, certainly from the support matters of one that Pell is going to talk about the forensic investigation, but that's a departmental managed project, she's from the PhD. Just the first question on historic debt. Historic debt arises because of a couple of reasons. One of the reasons, when a student gets funded, the minister that is used to determine whether they qualify for funding or not, turns out what is referred to as an EFC, which is the expected family contribution. If, for instance, the family earns an income, the minister might say, NSFAS will pay 50,000. We expect your family to pay 10,000. And if the university does not collect the 10,000 from the student in that year, let's say 2014 academic year, when it comes now, and the family might claim that we're unable to afford what the minister say we can afford, and that's another discussion altogether. But when it comes to the 2015 academic year, the beginning of the 2015 academic year, that student would now owe the university 10,000. And that's what might say again, okay, we're prepared to pay 55,000 for you for this current year. Even if that 55,000 gets taken to start with the 10,000. It opens another gap in this year. It's a recurring, it's now a recurring problem. But the minister is a scientific tool that gets used and say, you should contribute so much. Historically, what universities were doing, and I now know most of them have stopped that, because money is not enough, some universities, what they would do was to say, okay, we're going to give everyone 20,000. And as much as we know that you need 35,000, then say, okay, because we don't have enough money, they spend to a whole lot of students, let's say 20,000 for everyone. That then means each of those students owes 15,000. And when they go to the next year, they've got that debt of 15,000 that was not paid for. But most universities have now shut that they've stopped the practice. They try and fully fund the students. Of course, there's a choice there. Once you fully fund, the number of students that are funded shrinks. And that's part of the strategic choices that have to be made in an environment of limited resources. The upfront payments, we're working with the universities here because the universities are our agents in terms of the payment of upfront payments to students. And we issue circulars, we also have one-on-one with the vice chancellors, and we're becoming much more and more active in managing the issue of upfront payments to ensure that the universities give the upfront payments to the students. It happens in the system that some universities are well off than others. Some universities are struggling on their own, as they said. And when 100 million rand hits and their creditors are sitting here threatening to take them to court, some universities find the temptation to take the money and go and pay their creditors before giving the money to the students. And unfortunately, the way the system works is we pay the money to the university. There is no dedicated or ring-fenced account. And what we're doing with the together with the department is to almost bring in punitive measures for the universities that don't give the money back to the students. Because that money does not belong to them. It belongs to NSFAS, and it belongs to the students, therefore, if it belongs to NSFAS. And thus, a process of working together with the universities to ensure that, you know, the poorest students don't get disadvantaged in the process because universities are looking after their own interests or colleges are looking after their own interests. On the stakeholder satisfaction, we say 60%. This is the first time we're measuring this. I think we have to cut it somewhere. We didn't want, you know, of course, we want all our stakeholders to be satisfied. I think that should decide. We want all our stakeholders satisfied. But you then said there's a measure. We at least 60% of our stakeholders must pronounce that they are satisfied. And we have not said which of the stakeholders. Of course, we also call potential students our stakeholders. And they will be, some of them will be unsatisfied because of the fact that we're not going to be able to find all of them. But we have key stakeholders, which is for you, because also we've got our own employees and stakeholders in the process. The issue of perceptions and corruption, and let me be upfront. We run a difficult business network, but the information sources that are available in the country, for instance, in the country, there is no credible information source that would say, so-and-so is my father. Homicide has got some form of database with the push towards unabridged birth certificate. It's only younger children that now have got a link in a credible database that says, so-and-so is the father. The system, therefore, relies on affidavits that are signed in the police station. And those affidavits, we now know that they are not even worship paper, they are written on. And that is because we're working with other databases and bringing in a whole lot of collation of information. We have spoken to SASA, but what we think SASA will bring into the system is, for instance, we look at the SASA database and say, okay, was this child earning a social grant? And if SASA says yes, that tells something about that child. But one would have a correlation database, and we have spoken with DBE to say, give us the list of students that are studying in no-fee schools. And look at that child and say, was he or she studying in a no-fee school? Yes. That tells us something about him studying in a no-fee school. Because if you are studying in a school where he was paying 10,000, that also tells us a story. It means we need to investigate. When now, all of a sudden, you come from a university, you can't afford the cent, but at high school you're paying 10,000-15,000. That tells us. We're now trying to bring in a whole lot of databases, because there's not a single database that can give you the truth on its own. So because of the weaknesses of the whole public sector databases, there's a whole lot of work that is being done. But unfortunately at this point, there's no one that can say, I'm going to rely on this database. You're going to be caught wanting on anyone. That there's a lot of work that we're doing in trying to bring those together and be able to build a profile of a student by using the information that already exists in the public sector system. It's not easy. It's not easy. I don't want people to come here and promise that by next year we'll just crack this. You know, it's something that is painstakingly slow. It's going to take us some time to get into a point. So someone would argue that, what if there's a problem with the SASA database on its own? And that's, you know, that's something that, yeah, unfortunately, we're relying on that database to the extent that it gives us the story about that child. If that child has also gotten into the SASA data incorrectly and, you know, happened to be studying in an office school, you know, we build our profile, we would miss the profile, but at least we would have dealt, in our view, with the majority of the problems that we're encountering about money getting to the students that are not qualified. And Per will talk about the first investigation that the minister has spoken about in terms of the system. Therefore, to the committee, those are the things that we are painstakingly putting in place to ensure that we build a complete profile of a student that eventually will be able, will have a fair certainty that when we say the student is coming from a summit like this, we have got back up in terms of three or four systems that were put together. We're also trying to get hold of the UIF, the Unemployment Insurance Fund. We also have built an overlay in terms of the system. We're getting information from SARS at a different level in terms of who owes us and where they are working. And we're trying to put all these pieces together. Hopefully when Home Affairs system develops also in terms of the unabridged birth certificate, we'll be able, when you click so-and-so is a child, it will link you that this is the mother of that child and this is the father of that child. Of course, there's other problems associated with that, you know, that the issue of unabridged birth certificate. But we're thinking that once we have built the profile that we want to build, we'll be able to say with 95% to 98% certainty that the decision that we're making to fund is the correct decision. Just on the difference on a program between an hours and a bazaar. A bazaar is the full package that you give to a student. And within that package, we pay tuition and allowances. Allowances is your food allowance or book allowance that the student would get. But in the full package, it would either be a bazaar or a loan or a combination of both. But then we pay tuition to universities, accommodation. And the question of recovery is also that was raised. We will meet with one of the members at the door, but also there was the work that we were doing in terms of recoveries now is we're going to data from class. So this is through that data we're going to employers because we think that's going to give us traction quickly. We've started with the big employers that are employing 2,000 or more of network workers, and we're coming in and we'll be going to the smaller employers that are employing fewer people. Because our first prize is to be able to detect at source, which is salary, we detect from salary, because once we rely on debit orders and on direct payments, those are unreliable cash flows. But if we're able to detect at source, it is able to speak for much longer, and we're able to improve our collection. With grant fund foreigners, the scheme is for students who are studying, South African students who are studying at South African public universities and public teacher colleges. The question, Chairperson, that you raised about the evaluation of the current financial aid system. The ATP is based on the outcome of the ministerial review, which was in its own a re-evaluation of the NSFAS old model of doing things. That's why we now have the new institutions that are on the new student standard model, where NSFAS is now dealing directly. Because one of the weaknesses that was cited in the ministerial review was NSFAS is not going to be able to succeed in doing this thing if it continues to over-rely on universities and on TVET colleges. It needs to take a much more active role in managing this thing. And that's gradually the process that the journey that we're on is necessary to now take over. Because for instance, if a university is managing this thing, they don't have all the links with these government institutions that have network central we can have. But as we now bring it more centralized, that's what we can be able to bring in links to other government databases and say this application should be rejected because of this and this reason. We are hoping that in the near future we'll have a system that does not rely on affidavits at all, that we can kick out the affidavits in the system. We'll take the questions, Chairperson, that you promised us, and we'll deal with them. But we also think that maybe, because we've had this with the portfolio committee where they visited our office and we took them for half a day on the processes, maybe it's something that the select committee should consider in terms of a visit to NSFAS where we can be able to articulate with more time some of the challenges that we NSFAS has faced, and also share ideas with the portfolio committee on how we can tackle some of the challenges. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, there was that question on the fraud. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Bobita. I'm from the Department of Higher Education and Training. I'm going to speak to the current forensic investigation that the Minister has ordered and just explain where the processes are and what the scope of the investigation will cover. The Department has finalized the procurement processes in terms of appointing a service provider, and it is just awaiting the approval from the DG as our accounting officer. The scope of the investigation will include a sample from 26 public universities. We adding the two new universities as well as the Tafako Makato, because we would like to see what happened during the 2015 financial year and then new legislative year. And then also the two public TVET colleges. We are appointing one service provider, and the service provider has to clearly indicate its capacity to conduct simultaneous investigations at the same time. We involving at least 10 institutions, so we chose them. We still have to decide which universities. It will be 5 universities and 5 TVET colleges covering at least 4 provinces. And the 4 provinces that was identified for no particular reason, but just in terms of logistics, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KZN, and Limpopo provinces. At the same time, and that will be regarded as the first phase, intended that the scope will be extended to other institutions and provinces in the second phase. Just briefly the terms of reference that will be expected. The service provider must conduct a comprehensive audit for the 2012 2013 and 2014 academic years to determine the extent of misrepresentation and fraud committed by students who qualify and have received financial aid. And that will include the parents, the guardians, employees of universities at public private colleges, as well as at NSFAS head office. So this was an individual who have manipulated financial processes to defraud NSFAS. Ms. Fuba has raised extensively the issue with the affidavit, so we have quite a focus in terms of that. So in terms of the type of information that they may have submitted previously will be the following: applicants and members, family members, guardians who have knowingly provided false information. Other one will be applicants who have intentionally misrepresented their family income by providing false information on the certification of affidavits in terms of that relevant section 9. And then also the validate the validity of affidavits submitted and signed in terms of section 5.6 of the Commission. Also, we're also looking at the people who actually signed and approved, signed off on that affidavit. We've received allegations from certain individuals at universities where they indicated that there's a cabal where they have actually a group of persons who impersonate commissioners of oath in order to certify, falsify documentation. These are only allegations, and the service provider will have to determine the extent of how true is this. As the, I'm not going to go through all of them, but the last one will be the identification of the shortcomings and weaknesses in the NSFAS loan and bursary system, including the current NSFAS guidelines and rules applicable to universities and public private colleges, and the service provider will have to come up with clear recommendations to address these fraud risks identified. So once this investigation has been concluded, Madam Chair, we will be working very closely during the forensic investigation with NSFAS and after, because we will have to address this in a coherent way. So just so you know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will be great in time to share whether when we do oversight, we could be able to come to your offices or we arrange another meeting. But I think there is a need for a further engagement. I want to speak to, again, the issue of the historical debt. That one, I don't know how this new test is conducted, but just to give some background to say, most of the people who qualified are mostly coming from the previously disadvantaged communities, and the majority of them being black. And we have excellent service. It may not be formal in other people, but from us as well, it is formal. It may mean that when you check what I do with my salary, you end with my grocery, my car, and my everything. Mm-hmm. And don't ask me about my expenses, which is money that those families spend. They have to feed their family, their children attending school. And they're not able to pay the extra money that you expect them to do. Now I understand why people have been complaining about this men's health. My take is that if you look at that, like I was saying earlier, the students are losing out, let's start with you. Because you have already spent 50,000 rand, if I may use your example. Mm-hmm. And the student does not have, or the family, the 10,000 rand to pay. We all lose. So let's relook at that. Take the background of the student into consideration. And the normal circumstances, it will be good if we fund them on everything. So that you know that I invested here, by this year, we will be getting the benefit of our investment. for your presentation and the responses to the questions. Really appreciate and the meeting just in
comments on the need to make to a huge favor of the editor. It will all depend on our program as to whether we can be able to stop them.
Thank you.
our last meeting was the 24th, but the meeting with SAIS was moved to today, meaning next week education does not have the capacity meeting.
So
begin with the oversight process and everything else.